What then are the distinguishing marks of a true Christian? How would you know a Christian if you were to spot one? You say, oh, that's really a Christian. I know by the distinguishing marks. Or to put this more personally, because why should we always be thinking about others? How can I know that I am a true Christian and not a fake?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we're kicking off a series entitled Momentum. It's all about how to make progress in the Christian life, and we're going to begin to answer that question, how you can know, what are the distinguishing marks of a true Christian?
Yeah, and it's obviously a really important question. The first thing that a person would say by way of answer is that obviously a Christian is a person who believes. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But then, of course, the book of James tells us that, the devil believes.
Sure.
In terms of believing that there's a God that exists. He knows everything that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's something more here than simply signing off
it's
on certain
beliefs.
It's not a
mental assent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Then there's other people come from a different place. And they say, well, of course, it's all about putting it into practice. And that's true. You know, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like someone who builds on solid rock. But then again, simply doing things in and of itself is not conclusive evidence of faith. Jesus says there'll be many people who were engaged in ministry in my name.
Yeah.
And I shall say, I never knew you, which is one of the most striking verses in all of the words of Jesus. So we're going to look at certain marks that are cultivated in the life of a person who truly belongs to Christ. And they're described in these wonderful verses that we know as the Beatitudes, the life that is blessed. And it begins with this being poor in spirit, this recognizing my own need, a humility that comes to a person who genuinely belongs to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful passage of scripture for us to dive into and to open up together.
Well, let's do just that. As you probably picked up on, we are in the Beatitudes, which is Matthew 5. So open your Bible, join us there as we begin a message entitled Blessed. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, folks, it's an absolute joy to be back in the pulpit today and to be beginning a new series, which is going to be on the Beatitudes that have been read to us from Matthew chapter 5. You might like to open your Bible there. Think of this. These are the statements of the blessing of God that are given to us directly from the lips of the Son of God. Over these last weeks, it's been my privilege to really immerse myself in these words of Jesus, and I have to tell you that they are having a profound effect on me. I have found them to be absolutely compelling. I mean, think about it. Here is the Son of God speaking about life under the blessing of God. Who doesn't want to roll up a chair and listen to him speak about this? Everyone wants to be blessed. You want to be blessed in your life. You want to be blessed in your death. You certainly want to be blessed for all eternity. And here the Son of God speaks to you and to me about the very thing that we seek after more than any other. The opposite of being blessed is what? It is to be cursed. Who wants that? Who wants that? But here the Son of God is speaking to us about a life and about people who are blessed. And as I've tried to immerse myself in this, I have found myself saying, I want to be very sure that I am one of these people that are blessed. I want to be stretching further in relation to pursuing this life that Jesus himself, the Son of God, has pronounced to be blessed. I found the Beatitudes compelling, not only because the Son of God speaks about blessing, but because as well as describing the blessed life, our Lord Jesus here actually gives us the way by which we pursue it. This to me has been the greatest and most exciting discovery of the year in my own life in the scriptures as it has come fresh to me. I want to show you beginning today from the very words of Jesus how you can make progress in the Christian life. If you are a follower of Jesus, you will probably know what it is at times in your Christian life to feel stuck. To get to a point where you say, well, here I am, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm stuck. There seem to be some things that are beyond my reach. How can I get some momentum? How can I begin to move forward again? And I am finding that these Beatitudes are not only powerful in my own life, but they are proving to be immensely useful in ministry to others. So if you think of some of the really practical questions that come up in the course of life, here's someone who says, oh, there's so much impurity in my heart, and I want to be pure, but how do I get there? How would you help that person? You've got a teenager at home, and he or she is full of all kinds of tensions that are going on in the very course and stage of the development of their life, and they're bringing all that tension that's inside of them into the home. And we read here about, blessed are the peacemakers. You say, oh, how would I get to a place? How would I help my son get to a place? My daughter get to a place where there is some greater peace within her so that she can bring peace with her in the home and elsewhere and not turmoil as so easily happens. These are the real questions of life. They're questions about how you get to the place that you want to be. And we're going to discover throughout these next weeks that in the Beatitudes, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us precisely about these things. So I found this absolutely compelling. I am finding these Beatitudes also to be profoundly searching. I have tried to immerse myself in these scriptures. Here is the life, the person that the Son of God is pronouncing blessed. So then I must ask this question, is he then describing me? I read these verses. Is this me? Am I displaying, and in what degree, the character of the person who the Son of God says is blessed? Because, of course, what matters ultimately is not that I think I'm blessed or that I feel that I'm blessed, but that God himself pronounces me to be blessed, because those who are blessed of God are blessed indeed, and Jesus here describes those who are blessed of God. Third, I have found that these Beatitudes are leading me to worship because they are giving me glimpses of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, here's the amazing thing, the wonderful thing, that what you hear in the words of Jesus, you see in the life of Jesus. There is no disjuncture. You look at any other person you will meet in this world, you will see at some point a disjuncture between what is said and what is done. You will never see that disjuncture in Jesus. And everything that he pronounces here in these Beatitudes, Jesus Christ practices what he preaches. And so meditating on these Beatitudes is leading me to worship as I see these things in the life of Jesus and see more clearly and with fresh glimpses his glory and his beauty. Worship happens when we get a glimpse of the Son of God. And so we're going to be looking for glimpses of the Son of God all the way through this series in these weeks that lie ahead of us.
We're going to pause right here, but I promise we're going to get back to this message and those glimpses of God from Pastor Colin in just a few moments. You're listening to Open the Bible. Our message is called Blessed, and it's part of a series called Momentum, How to Make Progress in Your Christian Life. You know, this is not a series about how to become a Christian. It's a series about what a Christian looks like and how you can distinguish the authentic faith of a Christian, those distinguishing marks of a genuine believer. And if you ever want to go back and listen to part of this series again, you can do that at our website. It's openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app, which is free, and you're going to find that at your favorite app store. Simply look for Open the Bible, or link you to it through our website, again, openthebible.org. Well, we're in Matthew 5, looking at the first 12 verses today. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Now, today is an introduction to the series. I want us to become familiar with the Beatitudes as a whole, and then we'll be moving through them in particular. And today, I especially want us to grasp how we are to use these Beatitudes, to get the big picture as to how they are useful and how you can use them in your own life It's invariably a question as we come to the Word of God. Now, how am I to use this in the next week? Well, I want to answer that question in three ways this morning so that we have that framework in our minds as we move through the series. We're constantly thinking about how we are to apply and to use these things in our lives. Now, I want to suggest that we use this first as a tool for discernment, a tool for discernment. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment about bird spotting. You go out with your binoculars. Some of you know a lot about this. I don't know much about it, but enough to use the illustration. You go out with your binoculars, and you're looking to spot a few feathered friends. You look towards some trees, and there you see an American goldfinch. Now, how do you know that it is an American goldfinch? The answer is you know because of its distinctive yellow color. You walk along the river and you see a spotted sandpiper. How do you know that this is a spotted sandpiper? Answer, well, it's got very distinctive spots. The point here is a very simple one. Birds are known by their distinguishing marks. That's how you know one breed from another. Question: what then are the distinguishing marks of a true Christian? How would you know a Christian if you were to spot one? You say, oh, that's really a Christian. I know by the distinguishing marks. Or to put this more personally, because why should we always be thinking about others? How can I know that I am a true Christian and not a fake? That's a question worth asking. What are the distinguishing marks of a true child of God? Now, let's think about this together for a moment. How would you answer that question? Well, you see, someone might say, well, I would know that a person is a Christian by what they believe. Now, that's a good answer. God has revealed certain truths in the scripture, and if a person does not believe them, they cannot be a Christian. It's a test of truth. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, if someone says that they're a Christian, but they do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, that cannot possibly be the case. Jesus says there are certain beliefs that are distinguishing marks of a Christian. The work of God is to believe in the Father who has sent me. There are certain beliefs without which a person cannot be a Christian. That, by the way, is why we have a statement of faith that's part of church membership, because there's a test of truth. But remember this, that Jesus says that even the devils believe, James says, in the New Testament. Hell knows that Christ died for sins. It knows it to its own horror, but it knows it nonetheless. Hell knows that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Knows it to its own terror, but knows it to be truth nonetheless. And all of us have heard stories of people who have professed faith, who do profess faith, and then continue to live a life of indulging their sins of choice. That person is not a Christian. That person is a hypocrite. That's the only word that could be used for that. So what a person believes then is a necessary mark of a Christian, but it is not a sufficient mark of a Christian. So how would you spot a true Christian? Well, someone might say, well, I would know that a person is a Christian by what they do. It's not just saying what you believe that matters. Of course, it's putting it into practice. And again, that is a good answer. Jesus says, the one who hears my words and who puts them into practice is like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. And yet, you remember, you'll see it just over a couple of pages if you want to turn in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, one of the most frightening verses in all of the New Testament. Jesus speaks quite clearly there about the last day when he will say to people, to certain people, depart from me, I never knew you. And the reason that these verses, I think that verse is so frightening and so astonishing, is that these people are evidently taken completely by surprise. They are taken by surprise because it never occurred to them that they might not actually be Christians. And furthermore, because they were quite clearly actively engaged in ministry. And so they say to Jesus on the last day, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not, listen to this, cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? So these are impressive things that have been accomplished on earth in the name of the Son of God by these people who were not Christians. And Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they are completely astonished. So Jesus is making it clear here, think about this with me, that preaching a sermon about Jesus, as I'm privileged to be doing right now, or bringing deliverance to other people in the name of Jesus, these things are not in themselves conclusive evidence that a person actually is a Christian. That's what we're learning here. So here's what that means for me. It would be absolutely no value whatsoever, for me to stand in the presence of God on the last day and to say, Lord, I was the senior pastor of the Orchard Evangelical Free Church in Chicago. That would be of no value at all on the last day. Because that is not what he has pronounced blessed. What has he pronounced blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this is very searching for all of us who may, by dint of position or experience, run the danger of being presumptive. Jesus does not begin with a class on all the doctrines of the Bible. He does not begin by saying, let's get all of you guys involved in a ministry. He begins by saying, let me tell you what a person who lives under the blessing of God looks like. And by doing that, Jesus then is inviting us to measure ourselves, isn't he? I read these Beatitudes. I have to ask, are these the things I am pursuing? I have to say to myself, now look, Colin, forget being a senior pastor. Forget the fact that you've been a Christian for the best part of 50 years. You can look back on a decision. Here's the question you have to look at, Colin. Are these the things you are pursuing? Is there evidence of these things that is growing in your life? That's searching. So I'm inviting you to open your heart with me to the searching gaze of Jesus in this series. Let's just look at these very briefly to get an orientation to where the searchlight shines. I'll begin at verse 9 and work backwards. Blessed are the peacemakers. So I have to ask, am I a person who's bringing peace in the family, in my workplace? Do people experience tension around me? Is that what people say and what people experience? Does peace follow me because it lives in me? Or are other people experiencing tension from me because of the turmoil that is within me? Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. I have to ask the question, what is the condition of my heart? To what extent is it marked by purity? And to what extent is this heart marked by impurity? Because blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. How am I doing when it comes to this whole business of forgiving others? Am I quick to forgive? Am I merciful towards the weaknesses and the failings of other people? As God is merciful to the many, many weaknesses and failings that are in me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Does that describe you? Or have you become a casual Christian? I go a day without food, and at the end of it, my stomach thinks my throat has been cut. One day without food, and you know a great, oh, I'd do anything for a beef sandwich. Is that how you are feeling on a day-to-day basis about the pursuit of righteousness? I'd do anything for that. Any cost. Just get me to what is right, whatever the difficulties involved. Let me do what is right, because I glory in the righteous one who is Jesus Christ, and I want to pursue everything that is a reflection of him, and I want to be more and more like him. Ask yourself as you read Jesus' description of the blessed person, is he describing me? Am I submitting myself to the will of God even when it is difficult? By the way, that's what's meant by meekness, as we'll see later. Am I mourning over my sins so that I'm beginning to hate what I used to love and I'm learning to despise what I used to choose? Is that happening? And do I recognize that when I have done all, I have nothing to offer God, but come before him, hanging on the mercy of Christ, still at the end as at the beginning, an undeserving sinner? That person is blessed, says Jesus.
Some great questions to be asking as we wrap up this program together. So let me ask you a question. Based on what you just heard, are you blessed? Well, this message, Blessed, is the first in our series for Matthew 5. It's called Momentum, and it's all about how we make progress in the Christian life. Next time, we're going to continue to look at the Beatitudes and how we can use them to make progress in the Christian life and how they're a window to worship. Well, if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, you can always come to our website and you can listen online. The website is openthebible.org. You can also listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app, which is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store. Simply look for Open the Bible, or we'll link you to it through the website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener supported, and that is just what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Collins' teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Collins' book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, what can a person expect to get out of this book?
Well, very simply, it will take you right the way through the first letter to Peter, just 5 chapters in the New Testament. But this very important letter really lays out the basics that any Christian believer needs to grasp hold of. And so it's a marvelous letter for getting established in the faith. It's really helpful for anyone who is a new believer or anyone who feels like, you know, I just need to get the foundations set clear in my life. One of the things that I love about going through this letter, or indeed any book of the Bible, is that it allows God to set the agenda. See, it's very easy to think, well, we know what a new Christian needs to learn. And if I was coming up with a list, Steve, I'd say, well, there has to be something about prayer, there has to be something about witnessing, has to be something about reading the Bible and so forth. And all of these things, of course, are there in 1 Peter. But I probably wouldn't put on my list, you know, we need to retain our own freedom in Christ. We need to walk in humility, and we need to be ready for what it is to suffer. I'm not sure I'd put that in my list, but they're all there in 1 Peter. Why are they there? Because God knows that every new believer needs these things as well as the others that might come first to our minds. So it's a marvelous thing to get into one book of the Bible. And as you learn how to learn from one book of the Bible, well, then you'll be ready to go on to another book of the Bible, and you'll be on your way in terms of growing in the Christian life.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. It is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and it is our thank you for your financial support this month. You can call us and give a gift over the phone. Our number is 877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or our website is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Do you want to make progress in your Christian life, but you feel stuck? How do you get started again? Find out next time on Open the Bible.